When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Charmed, and welcome back to Let Me Ruin Your Life with me, Serena Shahidi. Hello, I'm back. I'm back with another guest episode with publicist and founder of Cancel Communications, Matthew Cancel, who is also a dear, dear friend of mine, someone who believes in me more than potentially anybody else in the world. He is a very talented, young, hot, sexy publicist who has worked with, Suzanne Bartsch, Ali and AJ, Davis Burleson, Instagram, Universal. Hello. This is a very fun episode. We talk a little bit about PR. Mostly we kind of just talk a lot of shit and we immediately launch into a story of him accidentally eating sugar. So enjoy. Matthew, welcome. How are you? How was your day?
It's been good. It's been okay. It's been stressful. I accidentally ate sugar, and we can get into what that means and why that's, problematic for me. But
okay, wait. Tell me about this, because how long have you been off sugar?
Okay, so let's take a couple of steps back. So I used to have really, really, really severe stomach issues to the point where I couldn't go to work. I couldn't get out of bed some days. It was just this severe pain. And I went to about 4 different gastros. This is in my early 20s. So we're flashing back to 22, 21, which, was only last week. And when I went to a bunch of gastros, I got to the last one and she was like, listen, we've run a bunch of tests and a bunch of diagnostics. I just think you have an overgrowth of bad bacteria and you just have a gut that doesn't agree with you. And at the end of the day, we eat a lot of foods that you're not supposed to be eating anyway. If I were you, this is what she told me. I'll never forget. She's like, if I were you, I recommend avoiding dairy, egg, sugar, caffeine, and alcohol. She's like,
I would kill myself. Mm-hmm, I'll say that right away. I would end my life.
And that's what I told her. I looked at her. I said, well, how do I continue living if those are all the things that I can't eat? How do you want me to live, leave this office and, continue being a human being? And from that day on, I stopped eating dairy and egg. So I've been dairy and egg free for about 5 years now. And that has helped me immensely. Earlier this year in January, I decided to cut out sugar. And it has been when I say revolutionary, my face has gotten slimmer. My stomach has gotten slimmer. I have had way less bad days with my stomach. My skin has gotten clearer. No sugar has changed my life.
But what does that mean? Because when adults are I cut out sugar, I'm like, were you pounding sweet tarts before? Yes.
So, yeah, for me, I had a huge sweet tooth. So because I've been dairy and egg free, I have found out all the norm core things I can't eat. So Ben and Jerry's dairy-free ice cream was my favorite thing in the world. That has about 150 grams of sugar per carton. And I was slamming it back. But I was also eating fruit. I was also eating I love barbecue sauce. Barbecue sauce has 12 grams of sugar in it.
You don't eat fruit?
Yeah. I don't eat fruit now. So now I don't eat anything. So I don't eat any sweets, no fruit, no condiments that have sugar in it. It is very strict.
So what do you eat in a day? Walk me through, because I can't imagine this.
I'll usually start the day with either a protein shake or a vegan breakfast sandwich from Gregory's Coffee. It's my favorite vegan breakfast sandwich. And it's just it's a fake turkey, fake egg, on a breakfast sandwich. It's very good. For lunch, I'll do a bowl. I'll do a grilled chicken bowl with some veggies, some brown rice. And then for dinner, a steak and veggies, steak and fries. And none of those things really have sugar. I eat things that aren't necessarily good for me, but I do make sure to stay away from sugar. That's my big one right now. Yeah, but
oh. You accidentally, I saw your TikTok about this.
Yeah.
Drama. You accidentally ate sugar. Tell your story. Tell your side of the story.
You know what? It's just, I feel like I've been framed. I feel like I've been gaslit. I feel like I've been bamboozled because the other night I was having a really bad cough, and I've had a bad cough for about 3 or 4 days now. It's snowing in New York City. Like, the weather's crazy. So I got pissed off at 4 a.m. I run out to the deli and I'm like, all right, give me a bag of Ricola. Like, let me slam these back and let me like go, try to go back to sleep. Ricola, I have one right here. These little guys have 3 to 4 grams of sugar per cough drop. Now, when you have a cough, what do? You eat a bunch of them because you don't want the cough to come back. I've probably been eating 20 of these a day for the past 3 days, slamming back 60 grams of sugar. Mind you, my body hasn't had 60 grams of sugar per day in 3 months. So I'm breaking out. My face is puffy. My stomach is inflamed. Mm. It's a mess.
That's right. Can I just say, I have a similar story today. Yeah. Okay, on this day, because I'm on my period. Mm-hmm. I have a heating pad under my top right now. Exclusive information. I had a huge can of sugar-free Red Bull, and then I was pounding Midol for the pain. Yep. And I forgot that Midol has caffeine. So currently, buzzing. I could lift a car. I could lift a car right now.
You're a little jitterbug right now. Oh no. Why does Midol have caffeine?
I looked on the packet. It says it's used as a what's the word? Diuretic? I think it makes you pee. So maybe you pee some of the pain out. I don't know.
Oh, okay, Midol. Okay, work. Yeah. Like, aren't all these like products like super like between like Midol and between like birth control and all these things, like all these products they make for women, aren't they like not safe? And aren't they like not like they're pumping hormones and crazy shit into you?
Probably. I mean, I don't really trust birth control. Yeah. I went to the dermatologist lately. I've been going because I get like 2 breakouts on my face and immediately I see a medical professional because I'm a diva like that. She was like, well, it seems hormonal. So one of the things you could do is go on birth control. And I was like, girl, I'm already cuckoo crazy.
I don't need that.
And also, you know, who am I with?
Yeah.
I don't need that. But yeah, some people, I don't know if it's a myth or not. Because some of these things are myths, like period syncing. Apparently, that's a myth when like you and your girls all sync up. That's what I've heard.
Oh, I fully believe that. I fully believe when my girlfriend said that. I was like, yeah, they're all synced up. They all hang out all the time.
I know. I mean, maybe. I don't really know. But I've known a lot of people who are like, birth control made me crazy. And I'm like, I have enough crazy. I'm already on, how many? 3 medications to make me less crazy. I'm not going to add one on to make me more.
Yeah.
But do you do caffeine and alcohol still?
I do caffeine and alcohol still. Oh, so I drink about a cup of coffee in the morning. I've limited my alcohol. This is like a thing that I've just been doing as I've gotten older. It's also like a stomach and skin and like, you know, health fitness thing. I would say I drink like, I'll pick like 1 or 2 days throughout the week where I will drink. And I really only drink wine. I don't like hard liquor. I'm a woman of a certain age. And I just feel like a vodka soda, like all the things. I'm like, no, thank you. Like, I'm not, you know, in a fraternity anymore. I never was in a fraternity, but I don't go to those events. And yeah, a glass of wine, glass of Chardonnay, glass of salt.
Glassy.
And I'm having a good time. And my vape, and my little weed vape. And then I'm having a good time.
Oh, do you weed vape? Are you one of those people who does it all day?
No. Okay. Marijuana for me is strictly reserved for the evenings. So at night, I'll do like a little gummy or I'll do a little hit of the bowl to kind of wind down and go to bed. And then on the weekends, I'll have my little weed vape, like starting around like 8 or 9 when I go out, I'll do my weed vape at the dinner. I'll do my weed vape at the club and like mix with that with a little bit of wine. I'm feeling loosey goose, but I don't really get like drunk like that anymore. I don't get like turned up like that anymore. Again, I'm a woman of a certain age.
You sound like a 35-year-old woman right now, but I'm loving it. I love it. Okay, wait. So give the people I'm sure I'll give you a little bit of an introduction by myself, but give the people a quick little rundown of your career. How did you start? Where is she now? Let them know.
Okay. I feel like I do a bad job at this, and I feel like every time I do it, I say it differently. But essentially, as of right now, I'm a publicist. I am the owner of Cancel Communications. It is a PR events, influencer marketing / management agency. There's a lot going on over here. You got a check. We got skills for you. It's basically what we say. I always say, I'm like, anything that you need done within the media space, give me a scope of work and we can have a conversation and I'll be able to figure it out. And yeah, I've been doing this kind of my whole life, my whole career. I started when I was about like 19. That's when I got like my first internship, and it was at Spring Studios. It was during Fashion Week, and my entire early career was very much rooted in fashion. So I started in fashion PR, doing like New York Fashion Week shows and the Met Gala and Victoria's Secret Fashion Show and this, that, and the third. And then I started blending that a little bit with like tech PR. So I started working very heavily with like Facebook Meta by the time I was like 22. And I've been working with them like ever since. So the majority of my career has been like tech PR with like Meta, Facebook, Instagram, a lot of fashion PR. And then I dabble in and out of talent PR. However, that is, that gets to be very kooky, very quick. And there's
why that are there people? Are there divas? I can't stop saying diva, by the way.
No, first of all, I love diva. I love it. Yeah. Here's what I will say, because I think a lot of the times when people talk about something like this, they'll blame the talent. And I don't blame the talent. I don't blame the talent always. Let me be clear. Working with talent PR, you have to work with the talent. You have to work with their manager. You have to work with their agents. Sometimes they have more than one talent. Sometimes they have more than one publicist. It depends how big their teams are. And in my experience, sometimes, you know, it hasn't worked out with the talent, but 90% of the time when it doesn't work out, it's their teams. It's their crazy manager. It's their kooky agent. It's their crazy second publicist. And the thing is, the talent people don't pay as much as the brands. So you're wasting more time on the talent than you are with the people that are paying you more. And then you kind of take a look and you're like, wait a minute, what is going on? And when I was younger, some of these things I would have sucked up and I would have dealt with. But now that I've gotten a little bit older, I'm like, my time is precious. I love my job, but I don't want my job to be my life. I don't want to be a 24-hour, 365 type of person all the time. So yeah, talent gets a little kooky, turned up, crazy. Yeah.
And talent PR, just to let the people know, that's like getting individuals like press and getting them to events.
Yeah.
Okay.
Press and events, but it also like, and this is another thing that's tricky about talent PR. Like you take the talent, like Shawn Mendes, for example, right? Like he's not out here calling you up, screaming at you, being like, why didn't I get on a red carpet? Why am I not on the cover of this? Like that's more, you're taking in all the inbounds and you're like, all right, dude, you have 97 opportunities. We got to whittle this down to 15. Like, what do you want to do? What direction are we going in? When does the album come out? And that's the fun talent PR. The fun talent PR is when you like have a big talent that, you know, the opportunities are coming in and you have to whittle them down. The not so fun talent PR are the ones that are calling you screaming, why am I not on the cover? Why am I not on this red carpet? And what I always say to those phone calls is, well, I can only do so much. Your career also has to reflect. Yeah.
And they don't want you there. Partners. So let's start there.
Right. Yeah.
But you've worked with like, okay, you worked with like celebrities and you've worked with influencers. Mm-hmm. So what's that like? What's the difference in terms of not just working with them, but like just meeting them? Because I've met more influencers than I have celebrities, but it's interesting to see, shall we say.
It is interesting to see. And I will say not everybody is one and the same. Everybody has their own vibe and aura. I think a lot of the times, like on the Click Clock and on the, you know, page6.com and all the things, like people want to categorize certain people, like influencers are X and celebrities are X. And these two are, you know, not synonymous and they're not one and the same. But I mean, I've met some really amazing influencers. I've met some really cool people that I respect and that I'm friends with. I would say similarly, I'm more friends with and hang out with more influencers than I do celebrities. But same thing, like I've met some really cool celebrities that I've looked up to for a while and I'm like, wow, you're a piece of shit. And like, this is like really disappointing. And then I've met some that like I've hung out with and we've gotten along and now we're friends and we've been friends for like a couple of years now. I'll say that like the influencer into celebrity transition only happens for a select group of people. And I think the ones that do make that transition are the ones that are actually like very kind, very hardworking, and kind of deserve it a little bit. I'm talking about like Noah Beck, Emma Chamberlain, and even the D'Amelios. Like, I've met the D'Amelios. They're very lovely. I think, you know, they had that viral moment. I think they have like a smart team and like a good head on their shoulders. They're not my cup of tea, but I think they're nice girls. And I think like a Noah Beck type, I think he's, I've never met him, but outside looking in, he seems like a very sweet kid. He seems like he has a good head on his shoulders. He doesn't want it too bad. I don't know.
Have you seen the D'Amelio show?
I will not watch that. I will not.
Honey. Mm-hmm. Honey.
Mm-hmm. No. It's not for me. Like, I'm not a 16-year-old girl. You know what I mean?
Well, I am. I'll have you know. And that was my moment, you know, weed pen, 8 to 9 p.m., mm-hmm. sitting down with the D'Amelio show. Mm-hmm. This is what it is, okay? Mm-hmm. It's the parents. I think I saw Tim Dillon describe it this way, where it's like the dad being in confessional, being like, if it ever gets too much for the kids, you know, we'll call it quits. Like if it's ever too much. And then it's Charlie D'Amelio being like, they're telling me to kill myself. And he's like, if it's ever too much, which is a very accurate thing. Yeah. And it's also like, they seem like a pretty normal, like, obviously their lives are crazy, but they seem like a pretty normal family. So they just kind of have to make stuff up. So like Dixie was a singer first, right? And then Charlie was like, I want to become a singer. And it's like a 3-episode arc of Charlie being like, how am I going to tell Dixie that I want to become a singer? That was her thing first. Is she going to be mad at me? And then she was like, Dixie, I want to be a singer. And Dixie was like, okay.
Like, what? Who cares? Let's all sing. Let's all do it. Let's sing a song together. Like, what?
Yeah, let's do harmonies.
Is that the drama that Charlie wants to be a singer and she doesn't know how to tell her sister?
Yes. And like, also the drama that they don't really acknowledge, but that you see is that they're like children with like a panel of adults, you know, planning out their entire year day by day.
That is really strange. I don't, yeah, they're not my cup of tea. I wouldn't say I'm a hater. I would just say that I'm not their demographic, and that's okay. I know their publicist. She's a very good friend, and I think she's doing a great job over there.
Yeah.
It's so funny because I've been dying for the day my sister's going to come up and tell me she wants to be a pop star. My sister is gorgeous, and my sister has a beautiful voice and a horrible attitude. She's the perfect makings of a pop. You know her. You've met her.
The last time I saw her, we had just seen Knock at the Cabin.
Yep.
And we were at a wine bar afterwards. Yep. And you were just like, that girl over there at the bar with her back to us, that's my sister. And yep. She like did not acknowledge us. No. It was everything.
Yeah.
That's diva.
She I love it. Diva. No, she's diva to the max, and she has a gorgeous voice. And I've always told her since she was a child, I'm like, I don't know why you don't pursue this. Like, I don't know why we don't do something here. I remember one year when we were like kids, I was like probably 18. She was probably 14. I like bought a microphone, like a professional microphone. I downloaded like recording software. I learned how to use it. And we like cut a demo. I was like, Nicole, come here. We're just going to like play. We're going to like have a little fun. And I had her record a full demo and I was playing it for people. They were like, oh my God, this is really good. Who is this? I'm like, my fucking sister. And I made this in my bedroom. But she doesn't want it. She doesn't like, she's not a social media girl. She's not a spotlight girl. She's not a attention seeker. Like, she's a very behind the scenes kind of chica, which I don't know. That's her vibe.
Would you ever be like the star? Like, do you have a pop star fantasy? Do you have like a Broadway or an actor fantasy? What would you do?
So I have put a lot of thought and consideration into this because I don't know how much we can say. I don't know how much we can say, but we are being optioned for a certain project that would take us to new heights and that would give us a certain level of visibility. And I've thought about like, because I don't want to be... Let's just say what it is, because I don't think we're going to get in trouble for it. But it's a reality show, right? And you and I are being optioned.
Potentially. I don't know.
It's all over the place. It's up and down. It's been months and months. But I've thought about it and I'm like, I would not stay in reality TV lands. Like, I don't want to be known as like the publicist reality TV person. So I've gone down the checklist, would never be an actor. I hate the lifestyle. I hate the idea. I did background acting in college and it was just not my thing. I'm not a thespian is what I've learned. Like,
yeah,
reading lines and like sitting on set all day and like the process, I was like, this is skeezing me out.
It's so much sitting around. I can't imagine.
So much sitting around. And also you're in someone else's vision, right? Because that's another thing I've learned. Mm. I've gone down the checklist and I put them into two tiers. Either you're in your own vision or you're in someone else's. So modeling, acting, someone else's vision. Like, you're wearing someone else's clothes, you're reading someone else's lines, you're there to be someone else's puppet. Not my thing. Wouldn't do either of those things. Now, reality television and music, these two things, you have to show up as yourself. You have to play yourself. You have to sell yourself. You have to brand yourself. And those two things interest me. And those two things, I think, are a little bit more synonymous than people like understand. Mm-hmm. I would do music. I would pursue music, and I would do a full pop star fantasy. That I would do.
Can you sing?
I can sing the same way that like J-Lo and Selena Gomez can sing.
Oh, you
put put some background vocals, get some auto-tune, you know, someone else sings the track for me. And yeah, we're in business. And we get
I would say I'm teachable is where I'm like, because the thing is, I do think I have a stunning voice. Mm. No technical skill. Mm-mm. But if I had a teacher, mm-hmm, a lot of the girls would be scared.
A lot of people would be scared.
Many would be frightened.
Many would be petrified. No, I agree. And this is how I feel about the music industry right now. And this is no shade towards anyone specifically. It's the industry overall. I watch the girlies on the TikTok. I watch the girlies on the award shows and the music videos. And I'm like, I'm not any more or less talented than these girls are. I'm not saying I'm great. All I'm saying is I don't think she's doing anything that I couldn't do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. How do you feel about TikTok music, like that A, B, C, D, E, F, U song?
The A, B, C, D, E, F, U song. So I think like I was very resistant to the TikTok music career of it all. And I think my resistance was very like old timey, like, oh, you know, we're selling CDs instead of cassettes. Like, what's going on around here? And I think over the past 2 years, my mindset has transitioned and I'm just like, this is the new TRL. This is the new recording contract platform. Like, you want to be a professional singer and you really want to get a record deal, you're not going on the fucking Voice. You're not uploading your shit to YouTube. You're not, you know, shopping around your demo to, you know, record labels. You're going on TikTok and you're going to figure out that algorithm. You're going to figure out how to make your song viral. And then the record labels are going to come to you. It is, and that's how I see it. I see it as the new TRL. It's the new tool that you need to master in order for your music to get the visibility that it needs. And what I do like about it is it's become democratized. Like, whether you're the biggest star in the world, you know, you're Dua Lipa, you're Halsey, or whoever you are, you need to learn how to master TikTok in order to sell that single. On the other side of that coin, if you're a brand new artist and you can figure out how to get millions of people singing along to that little song, you're at the same level that those girls are. You're pulling the same streaming numbers. You're pulling the same views on YouTube. Like, TikTok really is a huge part of the music industry right now.
One of my friends as a teenager, like in high school, was Curtis Waters, who I've actually had on the podcast, who did the TikTok song, I'm a pretty boy, I'm stunning, super speed, Sonic, I'm running. And it was like, it just blew up. And honey, all the D'Amelios were dancing to Noah Beck, their, you know, their pet dog, their goldfish, all the D'Amelios. By the way, I think I'm going to meet Bryce Hall 2 days from now. Randomly. So I have to let you know how that goes.
Where are you meeting him?
Well, because this guy I know who I kind of work with is he has investor relations. He has a company and he invests in a lot of like actually sex work things like Rick's, which is the only publicly traded strip club. And he's having like a little company happy hour. And I guess Bryce Hall is coming. And I said, RSVP. And I hope and I pray I get a picture with him because I want to post it on Instagram and I want to post it with the caption, just like just hanging out with my friend.
First of all, I'm speechless. Second of all, let me know if you need a plus one to that event. Third of all, as much as I want to be like, ew, Bryce Hall, he's like annoying, whatever. I don't know what that boy does to me, but like him and Noah Beck have like the biggest chokehold on me. I think Bryce Hall is so hot. I think his chaotic energy is all over. Like, I think his chaotic energy, his like faux gay energy, the shirtless tatted up thing, like it just works for me. And I wish I could be like, ew, Bryce Hall. But if he were to ask me out on a little date, if he were to ask me out for a good time, a little lay in the sack, I would be 100% down. I think.
Would you date a TikToker?
I have dated a TikToker.
And that's
For real tea. I mean, I don't know if you're going to consider him a successful TikToker, but you know, she's got some
views. He's very funny.
Oh my God, we slept together last week. I don't know how. I don't know. I feel like I'm forgetting that we're recording a podcast, but we did. And I instantly regretted it because, like, as lovely as that was, like, he's still just the same guy. It's a year later. He's a little bit older. I thought he was, like, more grown up, but he's still doing this whole, like, funny boy, TikTok, fuck boy, like, douchey thing. And I'm like, when are you going to grow up? You're in your mid-20s now. Like, can we... No, but he's still, I mean, I don't think that boy's ever going to grow up. So it was like, it was a quick high and bye, but yeah.
How is your dating life? Because we've talked about the fact that I've been one of the people who's like randomly met like all of your exes.
You've met every single one of my boyfriends. It's very weird because not even some of my best friends have never met like every single one of my boyfriends, but you have been there for every era. Dating life right now is, I'm seeing someone. But we're kind of just in the hanging out phase. I'm a very adamant, like, we need to be friends first. Like, we need to be friends first. I need to like you as a friend. I need to get along with you. I need to know that I can spend, like, an extended period of time with you and that our vibes mesh. And then we go on to the dating phase. Do you know what I mean? Totally. So I would never...
I don't, but no. I know what you mean. I just don't relate to it.
I also think it's like a gay guy thing. I think it's like easier for like two guys to be like friends for, cause I think when like men and women date, there is always that like connotation of like, oh, like it's the preconceived notions of like, if a man and a woman are going to dinner, we're on a date and we need to have heavy conversations. Yeah. And we need to overthink, when are we going to see each other next and who texts first and this, that, and the third. But I feel like when two gay guys are hanging out, like, it's like, let's hang out, let's vibe. If we kiss, we kiss. If we end up hooking up, we end up hooking up. And then, like, if we really vibe, then, like, we'll have the boyfriend conversation later down the line. That's how I do it. But there is a young gentleman that I've been seeing.
What's his deal?
He's very cute. He seems very chill. He's also an Aries like me, so very fiery. He's also an entrepreneur. I don't want to say too much because, like, by the time this comes out, it might be over. Who knows?
Girl, the things I've said, I've stopped. Well, I don't really have a dating life at the moment, but I've stopped talking about my dating life on the podcast because it's like they find it. And then it's like, they always find a way to make it personal. Even if I'm like, oh, I went out with this guy, blah, 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 just telling a story. And I'll get a text that's like, oh, so I'm just some guy. No, and I'm like, literally, you want me to say your government name? Like, I'm being respectful.
I'll say your social security next time. No, I just had an aha moment as we were talking. I forgot the way that he even found me and like slid into my DMs is because I was on another podcast and I was on his friend's podcast and she posted it and he didn't know who I was. And he clicked it, listened to the podcast, and then he asked me out. So he may find this. Apparently he likes when I go on podcasts.
Girl, I've been on many podcasts and not a man has found me there. They found me in real life, but then they listen to me on a podcast and they say, no, thank you.
No, I'm shocked that he decided to ask me out after listening to the podcast. I'm like, you heard me crickling and crackling and you still wanted to hang out with me. I was like, that's how you know.
That's so interesting. I mean, I feel like, especially you with what you do, like your personal life and your professional life kind of become a little intertwined. How do you just like take that as it is, or do you try to like set boundaries?
I think it's something that I've been like thinking about and kind of grappling with over the past like 6 months, because I think last year I fell into a lot of situations where like I thought I was on a date with a guy and then he wanted me to rep him, or I thought me and this person were just friends and like they wanted to get to know me and then they wanted something from me. And that got a little bit weird because I had never really had the power dynamic where like I held that much power in like a situation. Like, you know, I'm 27, like over the past couple of years, I was very much like on the come up, and I'm still on the come up. Like, I'm still nowhere close to where I want to be. But now I've gotten to a point where I'm like, oh shit, like there's certain people that are going to want to hang out with me only because they want something from me, or they want this contact, or they want, you know, me to introduce them to somebody. So it gets hard. It gets tricky. I think now I have like a really good sense of like who my friends are in the industry, who my friends are outside of the industry, and the importance of those friendships. Like Davis, for example, we were hanging out last night. We were hanging out for like 6 hours. Like him and I are so cool and we are so close. And we have these like large in-depth conversations and we have this really great friendship, but then we're also like colleagues. Like I also, you know, do all of his PR.
We don't hang out for 6 hours and have long, deep relationships. So why is that?
I don't think that's true. I think that me and you have had some very, very, every single time I've hung out with you, it has been a memorable occasion. Every Thank time you. I've hung out with you, something happens, something, a best friend cries, or I sleep with my boyfriend in the other room in front of you, or
I put my ear to the door. I yeah. don't know. Who's I don't to know. Say?
We're at a dinner in Brooklyn with Magnolia Bakery and all of these, like, me and you have had very memorable evenings.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, love that. But you do, oh, let's talk about Fashion Week, actually, because that was recently, and I don't get invited to Fashion Week stuff. I went to one after party. So tell me about Fashion Week. How was it? Was this a good one? Is it going uphill, downhill? What's the deal?
So, Fashion Week and I have a very intimate and complicated relationship. I have now done, so let's do the math here. I've been doing Fashion Week since I was 19. I will be 28 next month. Two seasons a year. Okay, girl, let's do, okay, quick math. 9, 10, 18 seasons, 20 seasons of Fashion Week.
Like, did you just have to multiply 9 times 2?
Yes, I did. I did. At first, I had to do the math and like how much, yes, so 9 times 2. It's around 18 to 20 seasons. You know, Fashion Week now is very different from what Fashion Week used to be back then. I think back then it was a huge, huge, huge career opportunity for me. Like, it was for me to like go in, learn how it works, make connections, see the entire process come together, and like learn all of the important people for the move, like learn who the important people are in all the moving pieces. I would say as of like 5 years, like 3 years ago, I know the girls. I know the girls. I know how it all works. I see how it all goes down. I no longer have to learn. And now it's something that like I do really well and I've mastered. And because I know all the girls, I work on a lot of these larger projects. Every single season, like 10 influencers will come up to me and be like, can I just hire you for Fashion Week to get me into shows? And I'm like, absolutely not. Like, that's not my judge. That's not my gig. Also, like, you have to develop relationships with these brands. You have to develop relationships with these publications. Like, that's how it all works. And the larger projects I work on now are people that, again, have been working on it for a very long time. So, for example, you know, me and Vincenzo, we just did our huge Vanity Fair, New York Fashion Week piece, and it was big and splashy and sexy and fun. But that's not easy. You know what I mean? Like, both him and I have to have a relationship with Vanity Fair, which we've developed over a long period of time. We have to have a relationship with all of the brands' PR teams. So things like that are still a lot of fun to me. I like that I get to go now and participate. Like, I'm at the event, I'm attending as Matthew. I'm not somebody's publicist. I'm not the guy at the door. I get to go with Matthew now. It's what it used to be. I mean, you know, like, I remember back in the day, I remember being like 18, 19, 20, and it was literally me, Gigi, Kendall, and Bella running from show to show to show. Like, the same shows they were walking were the ones I was going and working. And
you know, were walking as well.
And I was also walking.
Right behind Gigi.
Right behind Miss Gigi. And, you know, we used to have Rihanna at Fashion Week. We used to have, like, you know, like, major, major A-list celebrities used to come to Fashion Week. It used to mean something a little bit different. Now I think it's influencer lands. Now I think it's a time.
Are you upset with that?
No, because the ROI still exists for these influencers. If you have 5 million followers and you're willing to post my brand, and I'm an indie brand that I've only been showing 2 seasons, and you have 5 million followers, you're going to get me more visibility than PR can buy. The nylon.com write-up and the vogue.com write-up and the 7,000 people that are going to read the glamour thing, it's 5 million, 7,000 people. So it's been very interesting to see the way that brands are investing in influencer marketing and the way that they're like shying away from PR. And it's kind of how my business has been going too. Like, I do a lot of influencer marketing for brands, and I don't even touch their PR. It's interesting.
It is weird. I mean, I understand why people are mad about that, because like, people, you know, they get very serious about fashion, but it's also like, they're always mad at the influencers. Yeah. And if you were that person who's just some rando who like moved to New York from Ohio to go to NYU or FIT or whatever it is, and you get an email that's like, hey, come to this Fashion Week show. What are they supposed to do? Be like, no, Rihanna should go in my place. Like, she's busy.
See?
She's pregnant.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I think the kids that get it organically and the kids that have kind of like earned their right, like an Emma Chamberlain, for example, I think she's done the work within the industry and she's made the connections and she's worked really hard. I think she's also very specific about what she does and what she does not want to do. I think she has like a clear direction. And someone like her, like, you know, that doesn't annoy me. What annoys me is the kids with, you know, 70,000 followers and they have a little bit of money and they hire a PR team to just get them out for no reason. That's what bothers me. Mm. It's like, why are you going to this? Do you want to be invested in fashion? Do you actually want to build a relationship with this brand? Do you have 13 red carpets coming up where you need this brand to dress you? Or do you just want to go to fucking go? You know what I mean? And yeah. I think that's where it gets conflated. Like, who are the girls that have earned the right and that are working hard and that fashion respects 365? And who are the girls that just want to be photographed for a week?
Yeah. It's funny because I feel like the douchiest people, and we've talked about this just like in the context of celebrities, where like the bigger a celebrity is and the longer they've been famous, kind of the less douchier they are, like very generally. Mm-hmm. But like with influencers, I feel like the douchiest ones like have as many followers as me. And I'm like, bitch, you know, that's enough where you'll get recognized on the street. Like mm-hmm. people like you.
Yeah.
But we're not Tom Cruise, bitch.
And the call is very much coming from inside the house. And it's very much, it's who you are, but it's also the people you surround yourself with. I've been waiting to talk about this publicly, and I'm excited to give this example.
Are you coming out?
I wish. Oh, my God. I came out the day I came out of my mother. Like, that was my there's three PR agencies that we're going to use as an example. One of them reps Miley Cyrus, Shawn Mendes, Rihanna, Lady Gaga, all the biggest celebrities in the world. This one over here reps Billboard Music Awards, People's Choice Awards, American Music Awards, Oscars. This one over here reps a bunch of famous influencers. Why is it that every single time I speak to these two, it's, hi, Matthew, how are you? How's it going? Like, so lovely to hear from you. Like, would love to work with you on this project. Let's go back to the brand and then we're going to circle back. Lovely people, nice people. The influencer agency, hi, sure, not a fit, blah, blah. And it comes from this. It's like when you make it to the top and then your teams have made it to the top, they're lovely. You know, they have to be strict. Like, you know, they're going to tell you no if it's not a fit and they're going to protect their clients' energy. And I understand that, but they're willing to work with you. These nasty fucking influencers also work with these nasty fucking teams that inflate their egos. And it's just this cycle of toxicity. And I'm always like, A, who do you think you are? Like, douchey influencer. And then douchey influencers, publicist, who the fuck do you think you are? And mm-hmm. these people like just feed off of their own toxicity and it's incredibly irritating and annoying.
Yeah, I was talking about in the last podcast episode I did, I was talking about I'm talking so much shit, but whatever. Just the influencers who are like, they live within their notifications tab. Like that's all they do. You know, they're always on social media, but like they're on their notifications. And it's like everybody, obviously everybody on that knows who you are.
Yep.
Bitch. That is not the real world. Like, whatever app you're on, it doesn't even mean that everybody on that app knows who you are. It doesn't even mean that 1% of those people know who you are, let alone when you step out into the real world, where, like, you know, maybe a few people will stop you on a night out. For the most part, they're like, can this bitch, like, stop smoking her cigarette in the middle of the sidewalk? I'm trying to walk by.
Yep. Yeah.
But it's crazy.
And I think the happiest people within the industry are able to dissociate and they don't drink their own juice. They don't drink the Kool-Aid. I always look at Shawn Mendes as an example. Like, you always see him like paparazzi pics. He's like hiking, walking around, and he's shirtless and he's doing whatever. And he's like drinking at parties.
Does he do anything besides walk? Like, good for him. He walks around. He's getting those 10,000 steps.
That boy does not leave that city. Like, remember when he canceled his tour? I was like, girl, it's because he didn't want to leave LA.
He wanted to walk around.
He likes his coffee shop. He likes his gym. Like,
To cancel my tour, but I just have to spend more time walking around.
Girl, I have my dog and I have my coffee shop and I have my gym and I don't like my routine disrupted. And I know you guys want me to sing a little song. I'm not feeling it. And that's just not me. And I'm an everyday kind of girl. But whenever I see him on red carpets and stuff, like, he's always super happy to be there. He's super cheery. He's saying hello to everyone. The way he says no to people is the funniest thing. He said no to my friend the other day, who's an editor, and she was on the red carpet. She was like, Sean, come here, let's giggle and gavel together. He was like, he starts laughing. He goes, babe, like, no, like, I gotta go. Like, thank you, but no. And I think because he looks at the fame of it all, he looks at the Hollywood bullshit of it all, and he's like, I'm in this, right? Like, this is my career. This is my life. It is what it is. That being said, I'm not buying into all this fucking nonsense because this is a joke. Like, I am a human at the end of the day. And tomorrow I'm going to go walk around shirtless with my little fucking dog. And that's what it's going to be. And that's the way to have a healthy relationship with fame and the entertainment industry. When you buy into it 24/7, that's when you become the douchey fucking influencer who wants it all too bad.
Did you see the Oscars red carpet interview with Hugh Grant and Ashley Graham?
I did. And I have a lot of opinions. And
I just saw it before this. Okay, to catch the people up, Ashley Graham was interviewing Hugh Grant, who still so sexy. I love when a hot guy turns gray. But she was interviewing him, and it was very, like, the way people pointed it out was, like, it was very, like, American excitement versus, like, British cynicism. Just, like, an unstoppable force of American versus an immovable object of Brit. And she was like, aren't you so excited to be here? Like, what's your favorite part? And he's like, I don't know. Like, you know, it's the Oscars. It's a little silly. What am I wearing? I'm wearing a suit. She's like, what was it like to be in Glass Onion? He's like, I was there for 5 seconds, you know, bye.
Yeah. Yeah. There, first of all, there's layers to how I feel about that interaction and how I feel about celebrities turning red carpet hosts. So now we have Laverne Cox, we have Ashley Graham, and we have Vanessa Hutchins, who were like E! News Entertainment, whatever the fuck correspondents. Let's take a step back there. Let's look at that first. Who are the 50 to 60-year-old executives that are selecting these people and that are like, you know what, Laverne Cox? That's who should be on the red carpet asking every fucking... These people are not interviewers. They are not hosts. They are not conversationalists. I don't even know if that's a word, but being a host and being an interviewer and being a good interviewer is a specific set of skills. You can't just give it to anybody. And I think they're just giving it to who fucking ever. And at the end of the day, it's like some of these social media... Like you would do a 10 times better job. You would do a 10 times better job. Davis would do an amazing job. I can't... And chinks, but like, you know, maybe someone like her. Like, I think some of these huge companies like the Entertainment Tonight's, the E! News, need to start looking at social media and who's killing it there and who's killing it with hosting and podcasting and start slotting them in. Get Ashley Graham off the fucking carpet. That's step one. Step two, Hugh Grant doesn't know who Ashley Graham is. He does not know who that woman is. He stepped onto this carpet and he was like, sorry to this man. Like, he doesn't know her. Like, he has no idea she's one of the biggest curve models in the entire world. He doesn't know, and he could also care less. You know how many carpets he's been on? You know how many?
He doesn't even care that he's at the Oscars.
He doesn't give a fuck. Some publicist and manager got him out of bed, wiped the fucking alcohol out of his mouth, and was like, we need to dress you up, put you on a carpet, because we need to make money, because we get 20%, and you need to get on that fucking carpet for us. He doesn't want to be there. He doesn't know what's going on. Leave the man alone. And Ashley Graham shouldn't be there in the first place, and that's how I feel about it.
I mean, I agree. I think there are like certain celebrities who would be good at it. I think like a Keke Palmer would kill it. But like just picking any old celebrity is so... Also though, we got to get better questions for like just the fact that people think that like talking to a celebrity is like such an exciting thing that like, oh my God, to hear out of their mouth the designer they're wearing is the honor of a lifetime. Who gives a fuck? It's Hugh Grant. He's wearing a suit. Okay.
And do you want to know why Alex Cooper has a career? And do you want to know why Alex Cooper is number fucking one? Because she asks questions that people want to know the answer to. I love Alex Cooper. Don't get me wrong. But I wouldn't say she's necessarily good. I would just say that she's willing to ask questions that we actually want to know the answers to. And that's why she's getting the biggest stars to go over there. And that's why every star that goes on the show is like, I'm so happy that I'm here, and I'm so happy I'm not on some fucking Kimmel, Fallon, Today Show thing being asked the same three questions I'm always asked. Who gives a shit what you're wearing? Who gives a shit about how you feel? Who gives
did
a shit about-
Did you cheat on your wife?
Who you want-
Come on.
Did you cheat on your fucking wife? How many drinks did you have with the boys before you fucking got here? What are you doing later tonight? You're gonna slam more- Like, ask fucking Hugh Grant questions that are pertinent to Hugh Grant.
But yeah. How did you feel after you were caught with that prostitute? Let's get into it. Can Alex Cooper actually- You know, I don't really listen to that podcast. I did listen to the one with Cole Sprouse. I skipped through. But, you know.
Ooh. Wow.
That was something.
That was a wild ride. That was a wild
Him smoking ride. That cigarette. That was the most NYU shit I've ever seen in my life.
The way that that man thought he was like an NYU frat boy, Johnny Depp, and some finance bro mixed in one. Like the way that he thought he was like a scholar who's written 30 New York Times bestsellers. I have never seen anyone more delusional about, like, babe, you were on the fucking Suite Life of Zach and Cody.
Oh my God.
No one's even watching Riverdale. Like, I still know you from the Suite Life of Zach and Cody. Like,
I mean, it's the same thing, honestly.
I was about to say, isn't it like the same? I don't know what they're doing over
there. It's like the same level of prestige.
Okay. All right. I'm sure it's a phenomenal program. I will say he's very smart and he's very well spoken, but the way that he carries himself and the way that he thinks like so highly of himself, it was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in my life.
It was very, I mean, it's just like, there are some moments we watch an interview where really anything, whether it's a celebrity or just like something with somebody you don't know, and you just know exactly how a real life interaction with them would go. Because most of the time you don't. Most of the time it's like, you know, this is a red carpet interview. I don't know. I don't know that person.
Right.
But I see Cole Sprouse smoking a cigarette and I say, I know that person. By the way, if you're going to do something like that indoors, go hard. Snort ketamine on camera. I want to see you do something. Hit a DMT pen in front of Alex Cooper and God and everybody. That's what I would like to witness.
I agree. The fact that, because I saw the preview and I saw him smoking something and I'm like, okay, I think it's kind of cool that he's smoking a blunt. The fact that it was a handmade, hand-rolled fucking cigarette from Brooklyn, God. I was like, girl, you're not hardcore. Like, at least let it be a little marijuana. Come on now.
Yeah. It's a little, you know, this isn't a smoking room at a hotel. Like, it's gonna be in the furniture.
I was going to say, like, her fucking furniture is going to smell. And she said it during the interview at the end. She was like, yeah, I have, like, an interview tomorrow. And they're going to be like, why do you smell like, you know, a six-year-old grandma's house? Like, and I'm going to be like, yeah. Why are you letting
Justin Bieber is going to walk in and be like, what is going on?
She's got to sit down with him. She's got to sit down. She's got to sit down with him. She's got to sit down with Britney Spears. And mm-hmm. She's got to sit down with Hugh Grant. Because you want to know what?
Hugh Grant
will like Alex Cooper. Hugh Grant will be like, you know what? I don't know who this chick is either. But this one I like. She's asking the hard questions. She's getting into the nitty gritty.
Yeah. She's not just, who do you want to see win at the Oscars? By the way, oh my God. Is it just me or have there been twice as many award shows this season as there normally are?
There have been 795 fucking award shows over the past 2 weeks. They're on crack cocaine. You know what I think it is? Because the past 3 years of COVID and most award shows haven't been able to show, some have gotten canceled. Cause remember, like, the Golden Globes is not going to come back. Like, the network canceled it. The Golden Globes got canceled, like, socially. There were a bunch of award shows that were like, all right, we're just not going to do it. Or, oh, it's COVID or this, that, and the third. Remember Grammys had to move their shit to Vegas last year because the LA restrictions were so strict. I think now that they're all back and they're all back in LA, it feels like, also, it's like the same fucking 10 people. It's Quinta Brunson. It's Jamie Lee Curtis. It's fucking Kate Hudson. It's, oh my God, it's Austin Butler. It's Austin Butler.
It's always Austin Butler.
It's always, but you know, let me tell you something, because I thought about it the other day. Austin Butler has waited for this for, how old is he? 31, 32. He has waited for this for 32 years, because before he was Elvis, I really want everybody to go back.
He was on Zoe 101.
Mama. He was literally Nickelodeon and Disney's fill-in kid. He was never a series regular. He was never, ever a star of any of these shows. He was the fill-in kid on Wizards of Waverly Place, on Zoe 101.
When they needed a love interest.
When they needed a blonde white twink, they were like, Austin Butler, he's not busy. And he'll get his ass down here.
He's not busy.
And he'll do it for half the rate that we even fucking have. So for 20 years, 30, how old is he? He's 30, whatever. For his entire existence, all he's been known as is the fucking filler kid. And now he's an Academy Award winner. And now he's Miss Girl. And I'm just like, dreams do come true. That's all I have to say. Dreams do come
Good
true.
For him. I mean, whatever. Just the sheer amount. I guess it is. It has been COVID, because I'm like, okay, I understand the Grammys. I understand the Oscars. The Film Independent Spirit Awards, shut it down.
the Bubblegum Showcase Showdown Awards, the Honey Bunches of Oat Awards, the
girl, like, sponsored girl. By Kellogg's. No, sponsored
by Kellogg's. Also,
shut it down.
Like, can we have like Trixie and Katya host one of them? They don't need to host, they can host the SAG film, whatever. Like, can we make it so that we act like the girls and gays actually want to watch it? I don't want to watch Jimmy Kimmel watch the Oscars.
Oh my God. Speaking of, okay, so I wanted to play a little game.
Okay.
And Trixie and Katya were on this because I saw a TikTok you made talking about like new venture ideas that you have for celebrities or celebrities you think are like in the wrong business.
Yes.
So I want to go through and let's come up with like whether it's a new business for these celebrities or just a new venture, like what we want to see from them, what we want to see less from them. Let's try to come up with some stuff. So I had Trixie and Katya on there. What do you want to see from them? Because we're both fans.
Oh, that's hard because I feel like they're in the perfect space right now. Like, I think
they've
done so much. If honestly, award show hosting, I think that would be hysterical because I think that would bring a fresh perspective. I mean, I would love to see them act because they've done reality television, they've done the hosting, they've done the they both did music, but I've never seen either of them in a movie. Ready? Okay. Two woman show. It's them as girls, but then it's also them as boys. It's only four characters. They play the boy parts and they play the girl parts. And it's only Trixie and Katya the whole fucking movie.
Oh, I love that.
Yep.
That's beautiful.
Brian and Brian.
You know, there are so many movies where like the main character is in drag, but it's always some straight guy.
Nope.
Let's have a drag queen in drag and then playing themselves.
Yep.
I would love to see that.
I'd love to see it.
Okay. Love that. Okay. Someone that neither of us understand.
Okay.
Harry Styles. What's next? What does he need to fix?
Oh my God. Oh my God. You know. I think one thing I would love to see him do, because I think he would do well in this, and like B, we would just see less of him, a fashion designer. You see him twice a year at Fashion Week. He comes out and he does a bow. You don't even see his face. Like, he's not on the posters. He's not at the things. He's not on the runway. He's at the bow at the end. I think he has a little bit of a vision. I think the girls, gays, and theys will love whatever he concocts. I think he should be a fashion designer, so he's less visible, so I see less of him.
I would agree with that. I also just think, okay, if he's going to do whatever it is he's doing now, you know, singing and I don't know, doing another whatever movie.
Yeah.
Don't Worry, Darling was an interesting something. Did you see it?
No, I will not. I don't think I need to.
Let me tell you. Here's my synopsis.
Yeah.
It opens. It's a scene. Florence Pugh sees something weird. She goes, that's weird. Next scene. Florence Pugh sees something weird. She says, that's weird. Next scene. And on and on and on until, you know, there's like a twist ending. But it's like, I've never seen a movie where there's so many consecutive scenes in which the exact same thing happens.
Sounds
it's
like a
crazy.
Nightmare. That sounds like a nightmare. And also, I think it's hysterical that we like pretended Olivia Wilde could like direct and executive produce like a program without it being like, when all this came to fruition and it was like this high drama, and I was like, yeah, do you guys see Olivia Wilde? She's a little kooky. She's one of those girls you want to get a drink with, but I don't know if you hire her to produce and direct a film. I don't know about all that.
Mm-mm. I don't know anything about her. But you know what I think Harry Styles needs is like a good, juicy profile, or like a Howard Stern appearance where he like gets drunk and spills everything, or, you know, Alex Cooper or whatever. Because I just think, I've heard the man speak. I've never heard him say anything. Like, he is one of those celebrities that is so like famous and like a lot of people dislike him, but he's pretty uncontroversial. And that's because he doesn't say anything.
I don't think his life is that interesting. Like, I think his life is constant and it's chaotic because of the tour schedule, the shooting schedule. I think he has a lot of things going on. He has a jam-packed day. I don't think the guy himself is that interesting. I think like getting a drink with him after 20 minutes, you would be heavily disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, we need to bring back like, you know, not exactly a 70s rock and roll, because like Steven Tyler was like adopting a little girl so he could date her. But, you know, a little bit of...
Oh boy.
a little bit bit of craziness. Spend six figures on drugs. Like, come on. If you're on a stage like that, give the people what they want. Anyway, next one. Lizzo. Okay. What do we want from her?
Lizzo. Okay, Miss Girl. I see actress for her. Okay, it just hit me. She's the Wendy Williams replacement. Daytime talk show, Lizzo. She is the Wendy Williams replacement. You wake up in the morning, Lizzo is the girl. She's got the hot topics in the background.
Do you think she'd be messy enough though?
I think it's in her. I think she is like authentically messy and she's cleaned it up to be like the star. I would love to see her clean it back down. Like, let's make it dirty again. Let's dirty it back down.
Yeah, I think if she like gave up on her current thing and was just like, I don't want to be that like unproblematic, whatever. Let me talk some shit. I think she could do it. But like somebody's got to be the Wendy Williams replacement.
Because since she has left, all the new programs are so safe. The Drew Barrymore show is very cute. It's very safe.
I love her.
It's very safe. Yeah. I need mess. Like that, nobody in the world did it like Wendy Williams. You know who did it like Wendy Williams? Leah Michele and fucking
Leah Remini.
Leah Remini.
And Michelle Visage.
The fact that they did not hire those two women as the replacement and they hired Sherry Shepherd instead, crime against humanity.
I remember a clip of Leah Remini on that show going, if you order me a plate of fries, I'll have sex with you in the bathroom. And I was like,
I'll have sex with you in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay. In the bathroom. I will climb across this table and I will have sex with you in the bed. Michelle. Like that duality of this like Brooklyn, New Jersey fucking housewife ass mom and like Michelle Visage's little like like trying to keep it together. I mean, that was comedy gold, and that was a huge missed opportunity in my opinion.
I miss Wendy though.
Every day.
More than, I mean, many dead relatives.
I agree.
I hope she's doing well.
I do too.
All right, next one. Taylor Swift. Obviously, she's killing it. But if she wanted to switch it up, what do we see for her?
She would own and operate the biggest marketing and public relations agency in the world. Every major brand and every major celebrity would sign to that agency in 3.5 seconds. Because before she is a singer, songwriter, performer, anything, the girl is a marketing and public relations genius.
I mean, she calls herself a mastermind. Like even because not everybody likes her music, whatever. It can be a little. I love her, but it could be a little angsty every now and then. She slips in a line where you're like, "Honey, what was that?" The Easter eggs and the like meticulous like
keeps you coming.
It's crazy. Keeps
you coming back.
It's just enough where it's not. You know, she's not Wendy. She's not stirring the pot that much. No. But she's not Harry Styles either.
No.
Like she is putting people on blast, but you know, in a more subtle way.
Yeah. I honestly hope that's what she does. Because she's been dating the same man for like 7 years now. Yeah. When she finally marries that man, when she settles down and wants to have kids, I hope she doesn't go the fucking skincare makeup route. And I hope she's like, I'm going to own a fucking marketing agency. And I'm going to sit down and I'm going to tell these fucking marketing agencies exactly what they need to be doing in order to be relevant to the demographic they're trying to get to. She would kill it. She'd do a great job.
I love that. I'm shocked I didn't think of that.
Mm.
Love. Well, you talked about this in the TikTok you made, but Lil Nas X, you think, should pivot to comedy. And I kind of agree.
I mean, I think the fact that he's doing music is part of his comedic bit. Like, I think he's one of those people that is dedicated to the bit so aggressively that he's going to see it all the way home. I think he's a clown, goofball, fun-loving kind of guy. I think he's just here for the bit. I don't think he meant to be a singer. I don't think he fell into this on purpose. I don't think this was his dream. From what I understand, he was a Nicki Minaj stan account. Like, that's how he became famous. Yes. So he was a Nicki Minaj stan account. And then Old Time Road could have gone one of two ways. Like, that could have been like something that we made fun of. We all laughed at. It was like, okay, it's like, you know, it's a silly little song and it could have been in a couple commercials, but the way that it blew up, the way that it did, I think he was like, oh shit, am I a singer? Because that was something I was just fucking around with. Same thing with Doja Cat. Moo? Doja Cat, yeah. Moo? I don't think she was really trying for something here. I think it was an accident.
But it went well. I mean, I would love to see him, because, you know, he could do both. He could do a little, like, musical comedy. Mm-hmm. Like a Cat Cohen, yep, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, musical comedy is, like, hard to do. Which, yeah, is why most, you know, there are probably only a few people who have done it well in, mm-hmm, human history.
Literally.
But he does the music so well and he does the comedy so well that I could totally see that. And, yeah, I could see him honestly doing like a ridiculous one man show, like for the bit.
I agree. I completely agree.
Love that. Okay. Yeah. Jennifer Coolidge. Obviously, she's also killing it. But if we had to come up with a new venture.
A new venture for her. She should be a social worker. She should be a social worker. She should be a school counselor. I think, like, if you're having a problem and you go to someone like Jennifer Coolidge, I don't know if she's going to give you the best advice, but I guarantee you're going to leave that situation feeling a little bit better about it. I think if you're in a mental health crisis and you go to Jennifer Coolidge, you're going to feel a little bit better about it.
Honey, I've tried. That's my, I'm calling up her rep and being like, hey, I'm about to kill myself. Can, literally, you put her on the phone?
Yeah.
The idea I had is like a fun, like, advice book. One, yes, of those that's like semi, Trixie and Katya did this, like, yeah, semi-satirical. But, mm-hmm, like, has some gems in it, because, yep, she could probably write a memoir. I am of the belief that if you're going to write a memoir, you have to be on your deathbed.
Yes.
Not because I don't think that young people have, like, been through stuff, but I think if you're going to write a memoir,
full story
and get ready to burn some fucking bridges. I don't want a memoir from somebody who's 30 and wants to be in this industry for 30 more years. Because then you can't say, you can out, you know, maybe one person for being an asshole. I want you to be on your deathbed typing away, this person was a cunt to me. Hello.
I make that joke all the time. Like, there are certain times where people ask me a question. I'm like, that's for my memoir. And I'm dead serious. I'm like, there are so many stories that I would love to just spill. And I would love to just tell. I'm like, in the present day, I gotta stay employed. I gotta have a job. I'm in it. I'm sure more stories will come along, but I was like, one day I agree with you. One day I want to let it fucking rip.
Yeah. Write, yeah, it like before you die, but, yep, like right before you die, enough time that you could be like, oh, I'm on the New York Times bestseller list. Pull, uh-huh, the plug.
Pull the plug. Yep. There you go. Completely agree.
And last person, me.
Well, we've had very large conversations about this. And I mean, I think you are the next late night superstar. I think late night has not had a successful female host since Chelsea Handler left. And to be honest with you, like, I know she keeps talking about making her comeback. I think too much time has gone by. I think she's a different type of girl nowadays. I think her humor is not as striking. You need to, I mean, Kimmel, Fallon, all of them, they got to retire. Like, I feel like that's just been in the tea leaves for a while, and you got to take their slot. That's what you got to do.
Can you imagine if I was truly the next Jimmy Fallon and I was like playing charades with like, who even is on that show? I don't know.
None of those people's career, Whitney Cummings, Chelsea Handler, Fallon, whatever. None of those people's career starts until they're in their 30s. Like if you were to talk to any of those people and they were to talk to you like at your age,
they'd be
exactly where you are. You're probably 10 times further along than they were at your age. Like, no comedian really.
They didn't have TikTok followers. They fucking wish.
No, I think your success is really, it's going to come a little bit later. But I also think that you're in the perfect place right now. I think that, like, TikTok, again, it's like what I said earlier. It's like, it's really crazy the way that like major corporations are lobbying with fucking government officials, not because of fucking China and not because of data hacking, but because they're threatened that TikTok is taking over. TikTok is that fucking girl. It's where people are getting their news. It's where people are discovering new people, new trends, new music, et cetera. It's just, it's where young people are going to understand more about themselves. Like
if they have autism,
like I've learned
if they're a lesbian, everything.
Yeah. But no, you're going to kill it one day. Late night. You're going to be like the most successful comedian in the world. I ever see it. For real.
I love how much you believe in me.
I believe in you so much.
Oh my God. I wish my therapist believed in me like half as much as you do. Although he thinks I'm funny.
He does?
Can I tell you, sir? The other day I was in therapy and I was talking about how everybody talks about how when you're an adult, like, you know, life gets so much more depressing and like, it's all like downhill. And I'm like, God, if that's true, like how has everybody not killed themselves?
Right.
Cause I'm asking the hard question. I'm Alex Cooper of therapy. And he goes, well, because killing yourself is scary. And I say, they're pussies. And then later on in the session, I was like, well, I wish I was still, you know, as funny as I used to be. And he goes, no, you're funny. That joke about people who don't kill themselves being pussies, that was funny.
Isn't your therapist a twink?
Yeah. How old is this everything.
Man? How old is this man?
He looks younger than me. I'll tell you that. He's probably your age. It's the blind leading the blind.
And he's a gay man. He really is a gay man. Like he's a little gay homosexual twink.
I mean, I think so. If he isn't, that's crazy.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to tell you something. First of all, that is hysterical. And that's the best thing I've ever heard. Second of all, my therapist, when I was 25, because I went to like very intensive specialized therapy for like my little issues.
Where?
She was a 75-year-old Jewish woman. And over a year and a half, she kicked the shit out of me. There was no kicking. There was no that. Like, she used to look at me and be like, are you out of your fucking mind? And that is exactly what I needed. I was such a train wreck and I was such a disaster. And like, I am so happy that that was my first experience in therapy, because I didn't want like a 30-something-year-old gay man that was going to relate to me and blah, blah, blah. I want someone to look at me and be like, you think you have it fucking rough? You think you have it fucking rough? I'm fucking 75. I'm fucking Jewish. I've seen some shit. Let me hear your problems, you little gay boy. And let me tell you why you're dramatic. And it was incredible. It was the best thing I've ever done for myself.
I think the dream would be to have both of those therapists twice weekly.
Yep.
One is the hard ass.
Yep.
And one is the one who's like, oh my God. Yeah. I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah.
I tweeted, speaking of the Drew Barrymore show, I tweeted a screen recording of Trixie Mattel actually quoted it, by the way. I tweeted a screen recording from a clip that I saw that, by the way, had like 20 comments because I was that deep in the Drew Barrymore show YouTube channel.
I'm obsessed.
I'm sick in the head. It's so twisted. But I tweeted that video, and then later I was in therapy and I referenced the Drew Barrymore show. This just gets more and more fucked up. And he goes, oh, I saw a clip from that. It was crazy. And I was like, I fucking tweeted that clip, bitch.
I think you got to get a 75-year-old Jewish woman. Like you need someone that doesn't know what Twitter is. You need someone that doesn't know what social media is. Like you need someone that's going to get, like, you don't need a fucking snowflake. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying every twink in his 20s is a snowflake.
I want to write my memoir that's called My Twink Therapist and Me.
Do you call him a twink to his face?
No, but you know, he knows it.
Wait, oh my God. Wait, we're recording a pod. Does he listen to this?
No.
Not that we know of.
If he does, give it 5 stars.
Give it 5 stars. Leave a comment.
Yeah, he gives it 5 stars. He's like, yes, this is Serena's therapist, BTW.
Jesus
Christ. Slay, bitch. See you Tuesday at 2.
My God, maybe he'll ask me on a date too. Is he cute?
He's pretty cute.
Pretty cute? My goal right now is to date I don't want to date like a bunch of people, but like I'm not trying to get into anything crazy. I feel like my career is a little bit all over the place. Like I'm trying to just see a couple of people. I don't know.
It's nice to have, you know, just people. Someone you could, let's get dinner, but like nothing crazy. I miss that. I miss having a rotation.
I'm out of my hookup era. I think my early 20s, my mid 20s, my late teens, like I was all about like hookup, hookup. Now I'm like, you can only watch a six pack slam on your pelvis so many times before you're like, what am I doing with my fucking life? Like there, like
that's the first line of your memoir.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, this is like great. And like, okay, you're hot. You have a nice body and you know, you can't even string a sentence together. But like after a while, it's like, let's just, can we hang out? Can we talk?
Wait, what about your gay gym? Can you, this will be the last order of business. Tell me about your gay gym.
You are, first of all, you're hysterical. Second of all,
I love you.
A lot of people have been asking me these questions recently because like a lot of people, if you're not like a 25 plus year old, like gay man, you're probably not familiar with like cruising and like cruising culture and like the gym sex of it all. And like, all that may be very foreign to you. So I love explaining this. I will not say the name of the gym because I don't want to get my membership revoked. And this is not like a me thing. Like I'm not setting up this culture. This culture has been around for decades before Matthew even got there. The gym I go to and many gyms across New York City, many gyms in major cities across the US, if they're in major cities in like a gay area, a lot's going on. A lot's going on. The steam room's got a lot of action. I barely go on Grindr now because of like the amount of men that I meet like in the steam room or whatever, like guys will follow you into the shower. And my gym, again, I don't want to give away too much, but the way that it's set up is it's like the locker room is separated into two parts and the underground portion of the locker room is where like the steam room is. There's a jacuzzi and then there's all the showers and it's like underneath hidden. There's no cell service. Like, you don't really go down there unless you're like looking to like get naked and go into a steam room. So it's almost like set up for it. Like I remember walking in the first time and I'm like, it's almost as if you're welcoming it, you guys. Like this is getting out of control.
They're like, welcome in. Here's your cock ring.
No. No,
that's like the thing you put on your keys.
Literally. No, gay men are wild. Gay men are crazy. And I always explain it this way and I just simplify it. I'm like, just think of any man in the world, straight guy, whatever. Think about how horny he is. Now multiply that by two. That's the reason gay men are so disgusting. There's no one saying no.
So like, where does the action happen? Is it in the steam? Like, do you walk in the steam room and you're like, hello?
There have been times where that has happened, yes. It's more of a
and
vibe.
Do you stay?
I have. I won't lie and say I have not stayed.
Like to join or just to steam?
Depends on the day. Depends on the vibe. But no, there have been times. And these guys are massive, by the way. Like the gym that I've been going to recently and the things that I've been walking into, these men are like 6'3", muscled the fuck up, like in their 30s. These are big fucking dudes, football players. And sometimes I'll walk into the steam room and I'm like, oh my God. Like, I'm like, are you guys fighting or are you guys fucking? Like, I was like, is that a wrestling match? And someone's going to poke an eye out. These floors are slippery. Like, let's all relax. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Out of control.
Wow. That's so interesting. What's so funny is I'll have friends who are like, I mean, I saw this on Twitter, a screenshot of a TikTok of this girl being like, I keep going. I like started going. And I don't know if this is the gym you go to, but we won't say. But she was like, I've started going to Equinox and I can't find a man here. Hello. She was like,
you got control. Is she kidding? Like, does she not know that every single man at Equinox is a fucking homeless
man? No. She hasn't been in the steam room.
Well, what's crazy too is I've noticed the gym that I'm going to is a chain. And recently there has been a great migration. I think it's caught on that the gays that like this particular gym has this like underground steam room situation because a bunch of guys that I used to go to the other gym, which is in a completely different side of town, are now all going to this gym. And I'm like, yeah, the word's gotten out. I honestly think that there should be like gay and straight gyms because every once in a while, there'll be that one straight guy that will come in that like wants nothing to do with it and he'll seem very uncomfortable. And I'm like, there's 15 of us. There's one of you. Do the math.
You're outnumbered.
Yes. You and all the girlies that want to meet men at the gym, you guys should go elsewhere.
You know what's so funny is I know so many girls who like try to pick up guys in New York City. I don't know. I just said New York City. New York City, but they will be like, oh, this is where all the men are. Not thinking of like, are those men gay or straight? Mm-hmm. Like they'll literally be like, I live in the West Village and I go to Equinox. Why can't I find a man? let's think for a moment.
Let's think for a moment, but I will say this. I remember growing up, and I remember, like, you know, like, you remember the homophobia of it all. Like, we're not that young. Like, we're not super Gen Z. Like, I remember growing up and, like, gay boys being perceived in this certain way and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, the whole rigmarole of it all. But now I think it's so funny that, like, women are like, why are all the hot guys gay? And then taking it a step further, being like, are you sure you're gay? Like, I have been in certain situations with women and gay men where they're like, okay, but, like, is he, there was, oh, let me tell a story. I know we have to.
You've been in the same room as me and you didn't give it up. So clearly you're gay.
No, I remember what this story will stand out in my mind, but it also has, like, since that day, a lot of things have opened my mind. And I'm like, wow, straight men really must be flopping right now because girls are really trying to, like, flip the gay guys. I'm like, this is hysterical. Yeah. I was in Los Angeles. I was at a birthday party and there was a young gentleman there and he was very attractive. He's actually a model. This is what he does for a job. And him and I were talking, blah, blah, blah. And like literally within the first 5 minutes of conversation, he's like, yeah. So like this boy I'm seeing, like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, so this young man is gay. This, that, we're talking about boys. We're talking about this, that, and the third, whatever. One of the girls in the group is like, we'll call him Sam. She's like, where's Sam? And I'm like, Carly, like, Sam left, like, whatever, blah, blah, blah. She's like, oh, like, I thought we were going to hook up tonight. And I'm like, girlfriend, Sam's gay. And she goes, no. When he first got to LA, he didn't say he was gay. And now he's saying he's gay. I think it's just a phase that he's doing. I think he's going to. And I was like, has it gotten that bad that the girlies are just waiting around for the gay boys to fucking
down? Horrible.
Hysterical. Oh,
that is crazy. I love the idea of a guy being like, I'm gay, and just like unbuttoning a single button and being like, what about now?
What about now? I also have another story. This is a real thing. This is an epidemic. Like, the girlies need to really get it under control. I have a friend who has another friend who is a woman, and she's a model. And every time I go around her, she's completely and wildly inappropriate with me in terms of, like, hitting on me. And I have looked at her in the eyes and I'm like, girl, are you out of control? Like, I'm gay. And she looks at me and she goes, that hasn't stopped me before. And I have multiple times, and I'm just like, you are a young, gorgeous young, what are you doing? Like, this isn't a challenge. Like, are you out of control? I don't know, something's going on, something's in the water.
God, imagine being, I've never been like that, as the kids say, that down bad in my life, that I'm like, if I could just turn him. No, he's a good guy. He happens to be gay. You know, he's a fixer-upper.
No, it's not.
But nobody's perfect.
He has a husband. We're looking past it.
You know, everybody has their own baggage. He personally has a man he's married to. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? You're going to not date him because he's married to a man? Come on.
Picky.
Literally.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you so much for being on here. This was so fun, and I could talk to you forever, but maybe we'll do another one.
We should do another one.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
I'm obsessed with you. I love you. Thank you so much.